Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, the podcast that's not sweet, not salty, but it's a mix-up box.
Like popcorn.
Like popcorn.
Hello, Ed Gamble.
Hello, James Acaster. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to this week's episode of Off Menu. We've got a guest coming into our dream restaurant, haven't we? And we're going to ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink.
Keep going.
And today's guest is Joel Kim Booster.
Very good. What an announcement for Joel Kim Booster.
I love his name.
Yeah, it's a good name. It's a good name. And he's a great guy. Very funny comedian. He's going to be a wonderful guest. I'm going to be interested to hear his food choices because he's in shape, man.
This guy is in shape. But last time we had an in shape guest, yeah. Joel Dommett.
Another Joel.
It went quite badly.
So fingers crossed this is not going to go badly. And fingers crossed that Joel doesn't say the secret ingredient, which means he will be removed from the restaurant. And the secret ingredient this week is popped quinoa, James. Now, I think this was your suggestion.
Was it?
Yes.
I've never had it.
Right. Well, if Joel says it, he's fucking out.
Yeah, I guess he's out. I mean, it sounds quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not averse to it. I quite like quinoa, but I guess it's like quinoa when it's been like, it's all crispy.
Yeah.
And it's like sort of very, very dry sand. Maybe I'm not into that.
Yeah.
Just to get behind the concept of it, I'm going to say
also,
I don't like it.
We're here in Los Angeles. This is one of our LA episodes, and all of them around here are eating quinoa, so we're trying to catch him.
Yeah, we're trying to
catch him if we can.
So, Joel Kim Booster is going to do his off menu now. Don't say pop quinoa, please, Joel. We'd like to keep you in the restaurant. Okay, here is the off-menu of Joel Kim Booster. Welcome, Joel Kim Booster.
Oh wow, we're gonna go right into it.
We're here, man. Look, we're here. We're in the dream restaurant.
See, it's a very American thing to, as a guest on a podcast, to sit and watch you two chat for roughly 5 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Silently.
Yeah.
Not being able to add anything to the conversation and then to be introduced. That's how we do it here. So.
I have been on podcasts where that's happened, and it's a really awkward start to a podcast. I find where, especially if they're talking about their guests they've got coming up, and you want to be like, I can talk for myself.
Done this before I got
here. Yeah.
A lot of times I feel.
Welcome, Joel Kim Booster, to the Dream Restaurant.
Yeah, there he is.
Expecting you for some time.
James is a genie waiter.
Oh, right.
I have to burst out the lamp. That's why I wasn't saying anything immediately when you guys were chatting, because I was like, I'm going to hang back.
And he was very much in an American podcast situation.
Yeah. And burst out of the lamp.
Can you hear in the lamp? We never established that.
I can hear
that.
You guys. Yeah. Oh, I always hear everything you say.
Yeah.
And some of it's not very kind, Ed.
No. No, I thought that lamp was soundproof, but...
Yeah, no, you say a lot of mean things about me. But, yeah, no, I'm a genius. Get you any food from anywhere you like.
Great.
Any time in your life.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, so don't worry about that.
I don't know if you were worrying about that,
I
Joel.
Wasn't, but... Yeah. I'm really excited. I've been thinking hard about these questions. I have to warn you, though, that, like... This is going to be the shittiest episode of this, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Because, oh, I don't know, man.
Well, I just, in terms of, like, the food, because, like, I was really thinking about, like, growing up in the Midwest of America has, like, ruined my palate in such a way. And I famously now, over the last couple of years, I don't, like, enjoy food anymore. Like, I don't really, like, eat it to enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
I do a lot of, like, it's very utilitarian. My view on food now is very utilitarian. Like, I blend a lot of chicken just to get it in my body quickly. Because I'm very, like, I have a certain amount of calories I need to hit in a day. And, like, I have so much time. And so I'll just throw two chicken breasts in a blender with some water, blend it up. And then I can eat two chicken breasts in like 90 seconds. It's amazing.
When you said this is going to be the shittiest episode, I was like, no way. And then you blended the chicken breast. And I was like, he's right.
This guy doesn't even eat food.
Sometimes I'll post a video of it on Instagram and I'll just shed like 100 followers.
Of course. Yeah.
Everyone is so upset.
Because it's like you've moved into an old people's home early.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's actually where I got the idea from.
Oh yeah, of course.
No,
yeah,
because my grandma was in hospice care for so long and they were blending her food and I was like, well, that sounds actually quite smart.
Yeah. All those old people are ripped. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know, how good they were all looking not in the hospice. Hospice is really sexy.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got an idea of the sort of thing.
Do you even season the chicken breast? Is it just like...
I'll, like, if I get it from like a restaurant, it'll come seasoned. But sometimes I'll just throw two chicken breasts in a microwave for a couple of minutes until it's cooked and then throw it in the blender and then blend.
It's microwave.
Microwave chicken breasts.
Yeah. I just need it to be cooked and then throw it in the blender. And then sometimes if I'm low on like the amount of calories I need to get, I will put olive oil in the water mixture with the chicken, and that I guess is sort of seasoning it in a way. Well, not seasoning it, but it adds a little bit of flavor.
How many calories do you need to hit a day?
I need to eat roughly around like 3,000 calories a day.
But
it needs to be like, it can't just be anything. Like I could get. It's also I'm also like tracking how much like protein and carbs and fat I'm eating as well.
Okay.
And that's why the chicken becomes important, because I could just eat McDonald's twice and hit that if I needed to. But
I've never been in a situation where I'm like, oh, I've got to try and hit my calories. I've never been under.
I'm almost always under because I don't like to eat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't enjoy it. I like to go out to a restaurant with friends. I like the social aspect of eating. Like that's one of my things. But like if I'm like at home and I'm like, fuck, I have to eat. And then I'm just like annoyed that I have to do it.
Okay. So you do loads of exercise.
Yeah, a fair amount.
Is that why you have to hit that?
Yeah.
It's for your exercise regime.
To make sure,
because
like if I just were left to my own devices, I would be a very very skinny person. Which is like, I'm sure some people are listening to this and being like, that sounds great. I wish I had that problem, but that's not great for me.
It's also a problem. Right? Yeah. It's just the other.
I had to eat chicken breast in a blender.
Yeah. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And when Joel says he does a bit moderate amount of exercise, I've gigged with Joel once in Montreal that he was doing sit-ups before he went on.
That is not true. What show is this?
The Catherine Ryan TV gig in Montreal.
Right. Well, I was, I think, wearing like a crop top or something.
It's so odd if Ed was making that up.
Yeah.
To your face.
That seemed like something I would do, but I was so ashamed hearing it back.
You weren't ashamed on the night.
Seeing myself reflected. Now, James, we've never met before, right?
No, we've never met.
Because both of you have what I would describe as one of the six face types that exist in the UK. There are only six templates for white men in the UK, and you both have two of them.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think you and your producer, Ben, have roughly the same template.
I hope not.
Do you have names for all the templates?
No, I don't, but it's one of those, it's like porn, you know it when you see it, right. You know? Like, there's even less in Australia, though. There's only like four there because, you know,
sure.
Inbreeding.
Yeah.
But
how many are there in America?
There's tons. We're a melting pot. There's too much.
No, white guy faces, though.
Oh, white guy faces? There's probably like 10 or 12.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think there's more for sure.
Okay.
So you guys are a small island. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough. Is there names for our different faces? I mean, I'm wondering probably what kind of a face template we have. I know you've already asked it, but like, I'm just saying, like,
for Ed specifically,
I'm very insecure now that that's happened.
Sorry. I'm sorry to do that to you right off the bat. But after we get off the podcast, I'll show you at least like 3 people who look like Ed to me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I get that a lot.
Sure.
I used to have a joke about looking like when you design your own character on a computer game. Before you've added anything. Default.
Just the template. Yeah.
Default face. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And my one's the same, but you change the hair to blonde.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't look the same as you.
No, we don't look the same.
No.
No, I look the same but as Benito, apparently.
Yeah. Ben, and then that also, that guy from 1917.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I've got
happy look like George MacKay.
Yeah. James isn't on Twitter anymore. But obviously,
we do
a podcast together.
Thank you.
So, I'd say 50% of my social media interactions are people asking me questions for me to ask to James. And I've had a lot of tweets saying, can you tell James he looks like the guy from 1970?
Wow. See?
Great.
See?
Compliment. I like George MacKay a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I like
Happy
him.
With that?
Yeah.
Great. Good.
I like him. Good guy.
You look like the guy from Nicholas Holt.
Yes, I've had that
you
before.
You get that a lot?
Mm-hmm. I look like the guy from Nicholas Holt.
The guy from Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
I just was surprised I remembered his name. But
that's very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's one of the six. One of the main six.
So we always start with still or sparkling water on the podcast. You're already drinking still water.
Still, yeah.
So
still tap. Give it to me.
Yeah.
No matter where I am in the world.
With some chicken.
The first place I ever go. First question I ask when I go to any new country is, can I drink the water here? Can I drink the tap water? Even some cities.
Especially around America, it can change depending where you go. So yeah, that's very important. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I just drink the water, tap water, wherever I am without checking. Is that bad?
Probably. I mean, some places in America it could be dicey, certainly.
Well, we were drinking it in New York, and people are very evangelical about the tap water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The tap water in New York is great. I like the tap water here, too. Though.
Right, okay. Where's the worst tap water, apart from the places that are in the news? That famously have terrible tap water.
Oh, I mean, those are the places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. Sometimes it comes out like looking like milk, and that worries me a little bit. But New York's tap water is like that too. But then you wait a little bit, and it settles.
Yeah, it settles.
But people are like, "That's good. That means it's minerals."
Yeah, I know what it means.
It's like Guinness.
But where are the minerals coming from?
Yeah,
And
where do they go?
Yeah.
Where does the milk color go?
Yeah,
when you let that settle.
I don't appreciate it, but I always ask at hotels because they always charge like $9 for a bottle of water that's sitting in the room.
Yeah,
and I'm like, can I just use the stuff that's in the room? And they're like, well. Yeah. Sometimes they just want you to buy that $9 bottle of water.
Yeah, they've got you.
What about the UK? What about London? I remember drinking the water in London.
Different areas of London are different. You got hard water areas, soft water areas.
Okay, well, I was in zone 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good. And I thought the water was fine.
That's good. Zone 3 water is good stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zone 3.
Oh, we can get you tapped. That's no problem.
Great.
Yeah, man. No problem whatsoever. And I guess for someone who doesn't like food or eating, tap water is like the dream for you.
Yeah, but I will say that, like, we can get into it later on in the meal, but my, like, the drink, there I do enjoy, like, drinking is like, the kind of drink specifically is like pretty important to me still.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then by the sound of things, all your meals are drinks.
Yeah. That's a good portion of them.
So to be fair, even, chicken drink.
Sometimes I'll get a full plate from a restaurant, chicken and then mashed potatoes and then some sort of salad and I'll just put it all in.
No, you won't.
Yeah.
Joel.
Why? It's all going to the same place. Again, it's like
going to the same place.
It's about speed and efficiency.
Joel,
sometimes.
Technically, all of us are going to the same place, i.e. the grave.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you might as well walk around covered in worms your whole life, letting them eat your face.
We just don't have enough time. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I just don't have enough time to sit there and, like, eat. I would rather, like, be moving on to the next thing.
Right.
Unless there's, if I'm alone. This is only if I'm alone. If I'm with other people, I don't do it. No one's ever full on witnessed me.
You've not invited people over for a meal or something and then just blended a salad.
No, that's not that dark yet.
We'll have their own glasses and just pour them all a glass of salad and chicken and mashed potatoes. It's all the same in the end, guys. It's all going to the same place. I mean, technically, it's going to the same place. And you're talking about your stomach, but really, that's not your final destination.
Well, I mean,
you might as well serve him a glass of
How is it not soup? I guess is my question. Yes. Isn't that just soup? Like, one time I got a bowl of tomato soup, mashed potatoes, and chicken, and I blended it all up together. And it just tasted like tomato soup with chicken and mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah. So it's like a magical drink.
Yeah, it was just soup. Magical. It was just a
does
big
the texture
soup.
Not gross you out?
No. Texture doesn't really, is not one of the things that grosses me out. Smell is the only, like, I guess, like, thing that will gross me out. But I'm not, like, one of those people who's like, oh, I don't like the texture of tapioca, so I can't eat it.
Right, okay.
Or, like, cottage cheese or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, because it's all blended in cheese? The anyway.
Yeah,
yes,
cottage cheese.
We have cottage cheese.
I love cottage cheese.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Blends easy. Of course you love it. Poppadoms or bread?
What? What was the first one?
Poppadoms or bread?
What the fuck is a poppadom?
Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms. And don't worry, Joel, we've been in America for a while and it normally gets this reaction. Poppadoms are like a crispy Indian.
Yes, okay. I have had those. Indian chips. Got it.
Yeah, Indian chips, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you can have anything.
Crisps, I guess. Yeah.
Anything that you'd normally have at the bread course in any kind of restaurant, you can have. It doesn't have to be even poppadoms.
No. I love a mixed basket of bread.
Okay.
And then this is going to be a continuing theme because you guys don't have like Greek diners in the UK like we have here, which is like a grand tradition of like a 25-page menu that has way too much shit on it.
Yeah.
And some of which they'll have never cooked. But like that's like I love like a mixed like there's like weird different kinds of rolls, some of which you'll never touch, like rye rolls and then those little like unwrappable butters.
Right, yeah.
So that's the shit.
Yeah. What temperature do you want the unwrappable butters at?
I mean, room is ideal, or somewhere like hotter than room, I guess.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll put them in the basket with the bread if the bread is fresh, but not most of the time it's not, so it doesn't really help. But I'll eat a hard stick of butter.
Yeah,
I'll just stick it on top of the bread and then bite down with the butter and the bread.
So let me get this straight. So normally you're blending up the foods, but when it comes to a spread, you're going, I'm going to have that hard.
You don't want anything in the state ideally, it's supposed to be in.
Ideally, it would be spreadable. But if it's not spreadable, which it often isn't because they're keeping it in the fridge, which is good. You know, you like that. I'll eat it like a little, like, you know, sandwich almost. Butter sandwich.
Yeah, a little butter sandwich. Okay.
So do you want the bread from the Greek diner, the bread basket?
Yeah, that's the Greek diner. That's definitely what I want.
I don't think a Greek diner is. It's not Greek food necessarily. It's just run by.
It's just usually like owned by a Greek person.
Yeah.
Traditionally speaking, and then like there is like a one page maybe dedicated to Greek food. This changes. Like there are other people who own these types of diners of other sort of ethnicities and backgrounds, and like that style will get one page maybe, but it is truly like a 22 page menu, and it's usually they're open 24 hours. Usually there's like a few hallmarks that they will always have, like all of them have huge breakfast sections. Everyone will have like every kind of burger, every kind of like chicken, and then stuff that like you should never order from these places, like lobster and like seafood in general is usually pretty bad, and then like the same kind of appetizers will appear.
I suppose on a 20 page menu, don't go for the seafood because the chances of anyone ordering it are low, and they're not going to have fresh stuff in every day.
No, never. You never see market price on one of these menus.
Yeah.
It's just like there is no market. It's just whatever they have in the bag.
So a little assorted bread basket.
Yeah, that's what we start with.
Now, normally I wouldn't rush so quickly to the actual starter.
But you're intrigued, right?
Well, of course I'm intrigued. I'm trying to figure out what Joel's going to...
By the way, previously, in terms of other guests who've talked about food in a very sort of functional way, the only other guest who's talked about it in the same way as you have is Joel Dommett. So basically...
Oh, wow, Joel's.
It's Joel's.
Yeah.
Who
want sort of smoothies and shakes.
They do a lot of exercise.
Yeah. Exercising Joel's turns out to be a running theme.
You'll see, because when I'm out with friends, like my favorite thing, like post show, post anything, is to go to one of these diners very late at night, especially if I'm like out and I'm not like gonna have sex with somebody, then I'm definitely going to like one of these diners. There's a bunch of them in LA.
Roll back there. If I'm out and I'm not gonna have sex with somebody, now at what point during the evening do you know that you're out and you're not going to have sex with somebody?
It depends on what the situation is. But like it's all leading up to sort of like the hour before either one of those things happen, you know what is like, if you have no prospects,
yeah,
about like 30 minutes, an hour before the bar closes,
yeah,
that I'm gathering a group to go.
Then you're like, no, I'm not having sex with anyone here.
Sometimes it's later too. And sometimes it's like at a warehouse party where it's like by 5 a.m. you have decided that it's not going to happen. And so then you have to like get some street meat.
Okay.
And really cave and just like allow yourself to eat.
Oh, but street meat is, you mean food. That's not, okay. Like, that's not a euphemism for like a last resort.
Yeah.
I thought, I know you're like, food. And there's no proper prospect, so yeah. I'm off to get some street meat.
That's actually great. We should try and get that off the ground.
No, I 100% not, even as a joke, thought that is what you okay, I'm just going to have to accept that horrible term. We're talking about people as street meat now.
No. It's like literal, like people with like carts of either like making you tacos or burritos, and they're usually not permitted correctly, but you try, you know, throw caution to the wind. I've never gotten sick from eating street meat.
So. I have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, big time. we've discussed that already on the podcast. Yeah. I don't want to go over it again, but it
was
bad.
LA street meat vendors are very trustworthy. I would trust any of them with my lives.
So what is your starter? This is going to be interesting.
This is like literally when I gather groups to go to one of these diners, I don't even say like, let's go to X diner. I go, do you guys want to get some cheese sticks? Mozzarella sticks, breaded, fried, you're done.
Yeah.
Marinara sauce. That is like what I will eat on like almost every weekend.
Yeah.
I will find.
Always that. Eating cheese sticks. Yeah.
And usually like 2 to 3 orders. Always.
Which
always.
Is how many it's cheese sticks?
It depends on the quality of the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
A good restaurant, you're going to get at least 6 to 8 cheese sticks in one order, but sometimes it's lower.
So hold on. You said how many orders are you getting?
2 to 3.
Two to three.
Depending. No. Not just for me. Okay. Just like for the table.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
For the table.
That's fine.
At least so that everyone's getting 2 to 3.
Yeah. So everyone's got a good amount of cheese sticks each. How long have you been into cheese sticks for?
Wow. Most of my life. You know what? This is weird. Is that I had a real block as a kid. Like, it's one of those weird kid things where I did not like melted cheese.
Okay.
I didn't like melted cheese unless it was white, which sounds bad as I'm saying it. But no, if it was yellow cheese that was melted, I would not eat it. If it was white cheese melted, there is a chance I would eat it.
Okay. That's interesting.
So that's carried over.
That
now
is.
You're...
That, well, now I'll eat like. I'll eat some yellow cheese melted, but actually, I actually think I'm thinking about it now, and the idea of yellow cheese melted still does gross me out.
Yeah, so it's all about the white. It's all about the white cheese,
mozzarella melted, like Parmesan, like the Italian, the traditional. I think it's. I grew up eating like a lot of it, like cheap Italian food, and I think like the idea of. I associate white melted cheese with that. You don't see a lot of like cheddar cheese on pastas.
No.
And nor should you. but you see a lot of cheddar cheese in a lot of like poor people Midwestern casserole dishes. And I think like that's what I associate that with. Like shepherd's pie. There's in the US anyways is commonly topped with like some sort of like yellow cheese. And I also think of like American cheese melted, I'm not into.
No, that's a bit plasticky.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I actually think it like weirdly, like if it's not told to me that that's what it is, I'll eat it and I'll probably like the taste. Like on a McDonald's cheeseburger, I eat those all the time and that's American cheese and I don't think about it.
Yeah.
But if I like see it like put on something like eggs or something like that, which happens a lot, I'll just be like, no.
American cheese on eggs.
Yeah. That was a big, that's a big thing here.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't tell me this.
Well, why is it my responsibility to tell you this?
Why would he tell you that?
Ed's been the dad on this trip. He's been he's been keeping track of everything. That just know what's what.
Yeah.
Can't believe some things he's not been telling me.
We had mozzarella sticks last night.
Where?
But get this. We had them here, but James and Benito went out and got takeout from Fat Sal's.
Okay.
So they were in a sandwich.
Oh, and see, that's too much.
Yeah, well, I didn't think you were going to like it. As soon as Ed set that up, I was like, Joel's not going to like this.
I look at sometimes I'll get really stoned and look at Fat Sal's menu. And it all, like, in theory, it all, I'm like, yes, lots of stuff on a sandwich, lots of shit on a sandwich. That sounds great. And then I look at it, and I'm like, they always take it, like, one or two ingredients too far.
Sure.
I think that's the genius of it. Like, I also agree it's too much. But I said that out loud as I was eating last night. But here's how I said it. I went, oh, that is too much.
Yeah, he was enjoying himself.
Oh, it was so good.
You had the one, the cheese stick. What else was on the sandwich?
Well, I think the key is that you have to get one that's not like, that the textures and the don't clash too much. So I always like to get the big buffalo, the fat buffalo, right?
You always like to get.
I always get the fat buffalo. Whenever I'm in LA, I'll go to Fat Sal's, I get the fat buffalo.
Okay.
And that's like buffalo chicken and mozzarella sticks and the fries. And all of that together isn't too, you know, each bite, you're getting a good, consistent, like, range of all those different things.
That was tasty.
Yeah. I like that.
That actually I think I could do. It, buffalo chicken, fries, mozzarella sticks, and that's it, and then bread.
That was pretty much it. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
I think
oh,
it
some
was.
Blue cheese in there.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's all fine, actually. Yeah. I could eat that one.
The other one we got was the Fat Anthony, which is like ham, salami, marinara sauce, mozzarella sticks, fries.
Chicken.
Chicken tenders. Like
yeah, that was mad.
That was because
half of it, if you bit the top half of it, it was the chicken one.
Yeah.
If you bit the bottom half, it was this sloppy kind of like ham affair. It's a completely different sandwich.
Should have called it a sloppy ham affair, really.
That sounds great.
But they had another one on the menu that I was tempted by because it looked like the most disgusting one. And I think if you're going all in, you've got to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Called the fat hot chick, which was a problematic name.
Yeah.
And it was like Nashville hot chicken and flaming hot Cheetos.
Oh, see, no, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
I do not like Cheetos.
Yeah.
I do not like... No, it just doesn't. That doesn't. I don't like that artificial cheese dust anywhere near my body.
Yeah, and that's orange. That's not white.
Yeah. Exactly.
None of that is appealing.
Cheese puffs. Ugh, I can taste it in my mouth right now. I don't. Like
I can see on your face you're really not enjoying imagining those.
So I think you're already surprising us with this menu because you very much went into it saying I blend chicken breasts.
Yeah, that's when I'm by myself.
When you're with people, you're having. Mozzarella sticks, which is not even pretending to be healthy.
No.
It's fried cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some fried cheese. And what's your dip?
Marinara.
And you got your marinara.
Yeah.
So like, yeah.
It's delicious. I love mozzarella
sticks. One time they brought out cocktail sauce on accident because it does look very similar.
Okay.
And you know what?
It worked.
It worked.
Yeah. You were fine with it.
I was fine with it.
You weren't
just
really
a red sauce. That's all.
Yeah,
yeah. Marinara. Dumped it in ketchup sometimes too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's like bar food really, isn't it? It's like.
Yeah, I will say the close second to this was the jalapeno popper, which is, and it has to be cream cheese. Again, sometimes they'll try and sneak cheddar cheese in there.
Yeah. I remember the first time I had a jalapeno popper when I was a child.
How old were you?
Fat little boy. Maybe 8.
Blows my mind how old he is when he's had certain things.
We used to go to a restaurant called the Brasserie.
I can't believe I had a jalapeno pop when he was 8.
And they had a starter plate to share, but I used to get that as my main course
because
I love starters. Yeah. It was called the Picker's Basket, and it had like fried chicken and jalapeno poppers and like chicken satay skewers.
Picker's Basket.
It was in heaven.
Satay skewers.
The Picker's Basket, little picker boy.
Yeah.
Sounds great. That sounds like
James loves imagining me as a fat little boy eating massive meals and all the other children eating from the kids' menu.
Also just eating like such a with the palate of an adult as well. Like trying things that most people don't try until they're in their 20s. I'd like a jalapeno popper, please.
Jalapeno popper is something that is not an adult palate thing. Come on.
In England, it's not really.
I'm actually surprised that you had those in England at all.
Yeah. Well, the Brasserie is ahead of its time. Wandsworth Common, baby.
My son will have the Picker's Basket.
He's a picker.
Yeah. Thank you. To myself, please, the Picker's Basket.
Thank you, mother.
Absolutely love it. Mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, that's a solid opening.
Cool
to the meal.
Choice. Here's what I want to know, but before we move on, though, you say that you say to the group, do you want to get cheese sticks, which I think is a pretty bold move.
Yeah.
What's the most amount of people you've managed to come out with you for cheese sticks before?
2 Uber XLs, so like 12.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere around there. Maybe more, because I think like 12 to 15 usually we can get.
In that moment when you're in the Uber, you're thinking, oh, man, like 12 to 15 people are coming for cheese sticks because it was my idea. Are you feeling pressure at that point?
No.
Or are you just feeling like, this is great. I can't believe I got all these people.
No, I think everyone is usually pretty on board by that point.
And are these all people who haven't managed to have sex?
Yeah.
So how...
Some
must
people
be really...
who are never planning on having sex.
Yeah.
Is it not just like a really sexually frustrated meal where everyone's just like chewing on the cheese sticks going, man, I wish I had sex right now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's like... I mean, and the thing is like after the meal, some people... could still presumably have sex.
Sure.
It is not, and it's not about like, it's just about like the way I want to eat. Like, I would not want to be naked with anyone else after that.
After I'm eating cheese sticks. Mozzarella. No, that's fair. I think that's fair.
Like 6 to 8 cheese sticks. Yeah. I can house, and then that's it. And I'm done for the rest of the weekend.
You're keeping your clothes on for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're showering.
I'm lactose too, so it's like not a good idea. I'm killing myself slowly eating these cheese sticks.
Really drawing the line under the evening there. Yeah.
Although mozzarella cheese is supposed to be the easiest one for people who are lactose to like digest.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's a nice little hot tip there for all the lactees listening. Lactees, is that a term?
I don't think so, but you just made it. You just made it.
Well, lactees sounds like someone who,
who's lactating.
Or lactease, like someone who was going to have sex with you, and then they go, oh, no, I'm going to eat these cheese sticks. It's
like a lactease,
such a lactease. Oh, we thought we were going to bang, and you're eating these cheese sticks.
Not for you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. I'm so mad we rewarded that with a laugh.
That's how most of my friends feel. Most of my relationships, we shouldn't keep on laughing.
Stop encouraging
him. Encouraging this, reward this kind of behavior.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your main course.
Okay. My main course, this goes back, and this is like specifically my mom's, not any sort of restaurants. And we, again, were poor and grew up and in the Midwest. So this is like something that like I will order a lot elsewhere and have been continually disappointed, no matter if it's like a good restaurant, like any level of restaurant is I want. And this is the meal that they would make, I would request for my birthday every year growing up was spaghetti angel hair pasta from a box, the green box.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the brand is. Green box, Prego, regular, like just tomato marinara sauce. My mom would make it with Italian sausage that she would cook on a stove first and then add the Prego to. And then just the dry, the driest powdered Parmesan cheese on top from Kraft. And that's it. That's
so
it.
So that powdered Parmesan that tastes nothing like Parmesan from the block, the dust, basically. Yeah.
The stuff that you don't even have to refrigerate.
Yeah.
Which seems wrong when it comes to cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the stuff that I like. I grew up, when I first saw a brick of Parmesan cheese, I said, what the fuck is this? This is not.
That's where the dust comes from?
And like, I'm sure if I tasted it now, I'd be like, this is bland as hell and crazy. But like, anytime, I like love Italian food, and that's like one of my favorite like types of restaurant to go to. But sometimes I'll go and I'll be like, what is this, homemade pasta? Mm-hmm. And like, it's like a watery sauce that I'm sure is better, but not to me.
No, no, you want it to remind you of home, growing up. It's the first pasta. Was it the first pasta dish you ever had?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes,
and the angel hair, I cannot tell you how important the angel hair is, because if it was like regular fat spaghetti, I'd be so fit. I'd be so fucking mad.
You'd be too furious.
Too thick. Too thick. Yeah, Still can't eat. Can't eat the stuff. Can't look at the stuff.
No.
You can't eat fat spaghetti.
It has to be skinny. And I, you know what? As I'm saying it.
Yeah.
I think people are going to be upset. I think people are going to make that certain judgments about my personality based on that.
But
I only want to eat the fucking skinny spaghetti.
Yeah.
Keep that fat spaghetti away from me.
Yeah. I think that's a good attitude to take. Like, you never know what people are going to take offense to on this podcast. They might hear you say you don't want fat spaghetti and they're going to go after you online, and you're just going to double down on it and just be like, I don't care.
So this is very much linked to the memory of when, because this was like a treat.
It would
be on your birthday.
Well, this is like, I mean, it was a birthday meal, but it was like something inexplicably that they wouldn't make a lot. Like, I think maybe, I don't know what was labor intensive about it, because I've now since realized that it's actually like a very cheap meal. It was like a meal that I would make for myself when I was like out of college and very, very poor and couldn't afford food. We'd just like constantly be eating that. And I think that's, I think they were like nervous about, but they made us, like, there was like a long time when like my dad was laid off and we ate like shit on a shingle like once a week. And I was like, it can't be that much cheaper than spaghetti and like sauce. But, and yet we never really had it that much.
It's amazing, isn't it? When, as a kid, if you're told something's a treat and it's exciting, and of course you just go, it is. Well, thank you so much. And that really sticks with you.
It also, I think, is the first meal I can remember being taught how to make, which like in like at the time felt like incredible. I was like, I'm making food.
Yeah.
But now in hindsight, it's like, okay, you're boiling a pot of water and then you're putting noodles in that and then setting a timer and stirring.
Yeah.
And then you're dumping a can of sauce into a stove. Like the most labor intensive part is browning meat of your own.
Yes.
Yeah. But I guess as a kid, that's quite ambitious.
Yeah.
But and now, you know, if you compared don't to the cooking you're doing now.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty good. You know.
I don't think I've cooked a meal for myself yet, other than that.
Yeah.
This year. I will say, I had a children's cookbook. I was just remembering this recently. Do you know, you guys have the Peanuts, right?
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Snoopy.
Oh, my God. You're wearing it right now. Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Ed's wearing character? Woodstock t-shirt?
I had a children's cookbook that was Peanuts themed. And in one of them, one of the recipes was steak tartare.
Wow.
What?
I know, for kids.
Steak tartare for kids.
And it was just ground beef, basically. I don't know. It was crazy. It was crazy that it was that there was any sort of tartare in the children's cookbook. And I was like, and even at the time, I was like, because I fetishized eating raw food so often.
Right.
Because you weren't allowed, you know?
Yeah.
You all remember the first time you ever ate butter off the table, right?
Sure. Eating butter. I remember specifically the first time.
I remember the first time.
Oh, yeah?
I remember the first time nobody was watching.
Talk us through it.
And I said, I'm going to fucking take this spoon and I'm going to dip this shit in there because this looks like fucking ice cream to me.
Yeah.
And it tastes good in small amounts on other things. Certainly, it would taste good just by itself. No, terrible. I can still actually wouldn't eat butter for a long time after that.
Right,
on
you
anything.
A mouthful of it.
Yeah. And I can still like actually remember the taste of it very clearly in my mouth. It's one of the only like taste memories that I have like very clearly in my, I was like 8 or 9 maybe.
Right, yeah.
Maybe younger, I don't know.
Yeah.
That I can remember that, and I can remember the taste of my mom smoked all the time when I was growing up, and she would use old cans of like Coke or Pepsi as ashtrays.
Oh, God.
And I remember
I know where this is heading.
I remember like picking up my can of Coke, drinking it and realizing that it was a can that was my mom had accidentally ashed into.
God.
Like a full like cigarette worth of ash in that can. And I can remember the taste of that mixed with the Coke so clearly. It is God, it was so gross. And yet I still smoked for years.
Yeah.
I'm starting to understand why you don't like food much. I mean, like,
just destroyed my palate.
Awful memories of it as a child of mouthfuls of butter and fag ash drink. Oh, cigarette ash, sorry.
Yeah. That's crazy. That was insane to hear.
Isn't it bad? It's so bad. In America, it means something so different. Yeah. And then you say that, it's like, I'm sorry. The fuck did you just say?
That was insane to hear.
That was so... It's so weird.
I'll be leaving the restaurant early, thank you.
Goodbye, guys. That is... Okay. It's like I just feel like I've said, like, the worst word.
I mean...
Like, obviously, you know what that means back home, but, like, when you're in a country that doesn't mean that...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then you suddenly realise what you've said. I feel awful.
Oh, I'm going to enjoy watching you spiral for the rest of the episode.
It's really great.
I'm just spiraling. Oh, God. So your side dish, so that we just move on from that awful thing I just said. What's your side?
Not a great accoutrement to spaghetti, I have to say, with Italian sausage, but it is like the thing that I will order, like if I'm at the back at the diner, and they say, you know, I've ordered the main. Usually, it comes with a side. It's always going to be curly fries. I felt very like certain that the side needed to be potato based because our country is so potato forward. And I knew it was going to be a fry. I vacillated. I thought it might be hash browns for a second because I do love a hash brown. But if I'm going potato. And there's a lot of debate about this in our country, torn our country apart. What kind of fry is best? And I am pretty sure for me that it's the curly fry.
I love curly fries.
I completely agree with you. I think it's the best fries. I don't know why it isn't available on every menu.
Yeah.
If normal fries are available, curly fries should also be on the menu. Because I can take or leave a normal fry, I'd say. I'd regularly just say, leave the fry off. I'll just have the burger or whatever. But curly fries, I'm going to town.
I feel like
that.
Often your fries in your country are very fat.
Yeah, we have fat fries.
We have fat fries. Again, we come back to this. You're really hammering this point home here,
really
Joel.
Not like,
people are going to think I am a monster.
Doesn't like fat.
No, I just like, don't like, like, I don't like fries. The steak fries.
Yeah,
like, I
don't like or those. Chips. We'd call chips, them chips. Yeah.
I don't like, it's just too much. And then, and they're so often not cooked properly, and you'll get like either the cold or the hard center in a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I'd say with a chip that's been cooked properly, like, triple fried thick chip when it's like fluffy in the middle
time?
And crispy. Who has the time exactly? Chefs. I mean,
should
broadly.
Yeah. They're getting paid for it. Maybe they should have the time.
If I went to a restaurant and a chef brought out like a blended chicken chicken breast, he was like, so I'm in a real rush today. Who has the time to cook these days?
Yeah.
But I agree. A fry is better. A crispy fry is better. Yeah. But the curly fry, often not crispy, often quite soggy because of the shape of them, but so delicious.
Yeah, so
the
great.
Seasoning's great.
And then oftentimes you'll get the surprise, at least if you're going to a fast food restaurant. This happens less frequently at the diner, but you'll get a regular fry in there, which is like, and then you feel the rest of your day is made because you walk around and you're like, I cheated the system. I ordered the curly fries, but I still got a couple of regular fries in there too.
You never get it the other way around.
No, never. Why is that?
You'll never get regular fries and there's a little curler sneaked in.
Yeah. I think because the curly fries obscure the regular fry, like the couple of regular fries.
Yeah, have you had that before? They're with a curly fry with a normal fry straight down the middle of the spiral.
What? So it's just like, it's hidden.
Like an electromagnet.
But then you bag up the regular fries and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That doesn't belong in there.
Get that guy out of there.
Refuse to curl.
Yeah. And it sort of looks like a sort of potato pube when it's by itself in something else, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just constantly reliving that awful thing I said. So I haven't listened to anything you guys have been saying. I'm just going over and over and over again in my head about how awful it sounded. And it's happened to me when I was in Chicago doing a gig.
Yeah.
And there was someone, she was heckling.
That's where I'm from.
Huh?
That's where I'm from.
Oh, so where you're from? Okay.
He's heard about your bigotry before.
Yeah, he's already heard about what an awful human being I am. Because she was heckling the gig and saying that I was doing some material about Brexit.
Yeah.
She was saying, I'm so sick of hearing about this from you and shouting out.
What is she talking about? No one is talking about it.
Yeah. Well, I think by the sound of things, she watches a lot of British comedy.
Right.
And then went to see a British comedian and got annoyed they were talking about British stuff. Yeah. So, anyway. Everyone was kind of like booing her and telling her to shut up. And I kind of wanted them to not boo her because even when that was happening, I feel bad that they're ganging up. So I was don't worry. You don't have to boo her. She's just going to keep talking. She'll hang herself eventually anyway. Now, the term someone will hang themselves is a British term, I believe, that basically you give someone a rope and they'll eventually just talk themselves into looking bad and they'll hang themselves. It's a British term that people aren't very familiar with in America. When I said it in Chicago, the whole room went quiet and she was like horrified at me.
This is much worse than the entire room yelling at me.
And I was like, and I took a moment and I went, oh.
I don't think this is...
You don't have this saying here? And then they're like...
Everyone calm down. We'll all go outside for a... Oh, no.
Yeah. I would say most of our country is aware that fag is also slang for cigarette in your country.
Yes.
And I think less are probably aware that, hang the X is, is something that's, commonly said. But also, not that offensive. In context of what you were dealing with...
Uh-huh.
I'm actually mad at the people for not getting it.
Well, it's kind of like I was saying, one day she's going to kill herself, which is not great.
And not also not your style.
And
not
also, my vibe. If you had said, if you had said straight up, don't worry, she'll kill herself someday, uproarious laughter. I think the rest of the room would have actually loved it. I think the visceralness of the image of her actually hanging herself, giving the actual painting the picture was actually alarming to them. But we had a full Black Mirror has the hang the DJ episode. We all know that is a euphemism for that.
Oh God. Anyway,
people from Chicago are stupid.
Yeah. I'm so sad now.
Curly fries is such a... Has anyone ever picked curly fries?
No, and I'm very glad curly fries has made an appearance. Yeah. This is like an unsung hero, and I'm glad to hear it. Favorite drink?
It has to be something carbonated, usually a Diet Coke now.
Ah.
And it doesn't... it's so bad for you, and it's so shitty, and... I wish I weren't addicted to it, but I have to order. And in my culture, it's customary to drink 5 to 6 full refills of a large glass pint of Coke before your meal even arrives.
Sure.
Because they just have no choice but to refill it.
Yeah.
And the idea of a fountain drink is so... I don't know, has colonized my brain since such a young age that I oftentimes will be I don't need this. I don't want this. I shouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's given to me, I will drink 3 or 4 refills. Because it's free.
Sure, it's free. Free refills are the absolute dream.
Yeah.
Does it blow your mind if you're in another country that doesn't have free refills?
When they bring out the pint and then they set down a can of Diet Coke next to it... I have never felt so angry in my entire life. All over Europe this has happened.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah.
And then you have to sit, and your meal has not come yet, and you have to sit with this, with one can of Coke and not drink it. Because if you want to drink it with the meal, it's outrageous that this happens.
So,
and then they set the little straw right on top of the can too.
Yeah.
Can't even open the can.
But I think the fountain Diet Coke tastes way worse than the stuff.
No,
the can.
You're wrong.
Am I?
You're wrong. Actually, here's what I'll say. Maybe some actual fountains, in a fast food restaurant or a restaurant, maybe. But if you give me a bar, the gun that comes out of the gun, always better.
Yeah.
Always, always better. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what brand.
I like it. I find the bubbles are less intense from the fountain, and I actually like that. I don't like super out of a can.
Too spicy for
you. They feel harsh. They feel spicy. It feels harsh, all those bubbles.
Yeah.
I feel like they feel sharp.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't like them. It was solid.
The softest mouth in England.
Yeah, you were speaking like a real boy king of a European country right now who just like can't.
Mother! The bubbles!
The bubbles are too spiky!
It's like drinking pins.
Ow, I said. Ow.
I would say my preference would go fountain can, the twist. No, fountain can, glass bottle.
With the proper cap.
No, fountain glass bottle can, and then twist plastic
bottle.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Twist plastic bottle at the bottom every time.
No way. I would switch the plastic bottle and the can around.
Really?
How do you like that?
That's outrageous.
They don't. Plastic bottles don't chill down. Mm-mm. To the same temperature, yeah. As yeah. cans and glass bottles.
Yeah, but I'll take the softer bubbles over the spiky bubbles anyway. I'm still keeping the glass bottle above the plastic bottle, but yeah. The can is bottom.
Can is bottom.
Can's yeah. top for me.
Here's a question for you about Diet Coke. When's the last time you drank regular Coke? Have you just been Diet Coke
I
for
had
ages?
I had to drink one. I was forced to drink one in Philadelphia this past weekend, actually, and it was the first time in a long time, maybe like over a year, I've done that. Uh-huh. And it now tastes like I can't do it. I couldn't finish the can.
Sure.
Because it was like, I was like, this is so sweet.
Yeah.
And it's just too, yeah.
And does Diet Coke just taste like how you remember normal Coke
yeah.
used to taste?
Although yeah. I will say I've been drinking yeah. more Coke. I try to switch up Coke Zero and Diet Coke as much as possible because sure. the fake sugars are killing us.
Yeah.
I'm convinced.
Also, people say that Coke Zero and Diet Coke aren't different. They are different.
They are very different.
Especially when you get it from the fountain. When you go on and I notice the main thing is that with Diet Coke, the bubbles take longer to settle. The froth takes longer to settle. The Diet Coke, it kind of levels out pretty quick. You can pour your glass quicker.
Because I don't believe that this is true. Mm-hmm. And yet it's too boring to ever have like a Mythbusters episode about it. So like we'll never know. No one will ever take the time to prove this is false or real. Mm-hmm. But so I just know.
It is true.
It's yeah. not
I'd
true.
Back them up on that because at Nando's in the UK, you have to go and get your own fountain drinks. Yeah. And someone might ask for a Coke Zero and someone else might ask for a Diet Coke and you take both glasses and they fill up at different speeds.
Yeah.
Personally,
the main, like you say, but you just want to be on the go. You just want to be doing stuff, right? Yeah. You want to be quick. Mm-hmm. Personally, the most agonizing and pointless wait in my life, which feels depressing, is waiting for the froth to go down on a soft drink so I can do the fountain again. I hate this going and then having to wait around for it to settle. So I'll get a Diet Coke every time because the Coke Zero, it's frothing up and it's so slow.
I will say, on my flight back here yesterday, I witnessed a flight attendant do something so insane to try and mitigate that time. Mm-hmm. Is she got two cups. She opened the can of Coke, the Diet Coke that I had ordered. She started pouring in one and then started pouring in the other. And then like combined them as one of the fizzes like subside. It was so crazy. I was like, you didn't save any time.
Yeah. Just wasted a cup.
You just wasted a cup. Yeah. I was like, what are they teaching you?
I tell you what would be the slowest fountain at Nando's though. The liquid chicken fountain.
Yeah, that would be.
I miss Nando's. I used to eat there all the time. We stole so many bottles of that sauce.
Yeah, it's good sauce.
And brought it back to our flat. And we'll just keep it. It goes good on everything. I used to eat it on pasta a lot, actually.
Yeah, I bet that would work. Yeah. Totally.
It works good on everything.
We can throw some on your angel hair pasta if you want. We can do that. We can do that at the restaurant.
I will say the other thing I like to do sometimes is at the movie theaters here now, they have these big red Coke fountains that there's like hundreds of different flavors.
Freestyle. The Coke freestyle.
Yeah. I love those. Because you don't need a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs Sprite like a vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, but it's there.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'll do is I'll fill it up 3/4 of the way with Diet Coke and then 1/4 of the way with regular Cherry Coke. And you just need a splash.
It's liquor.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good you wouldn't even know there's any diet in it. Or that's a good mostly tip.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Good little hack for everyone.
Yeah. And could I just do Diet Cherry Coke?
Yeah.
That's an option.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
Right. Yeah.
This is
so is that your dream drink?
Yeah, I guess that's the dream drink right there. 3/4 Diet Coke,
yeah,
and then 1/4 Cherry Coke. Great. Regular Cherry Coke.
Your dessert, the final course. I mean, I'm not sure where this is going to go at this point.
James is always nervous that someone's not going to pick a very indulgent sweet dessert.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you've really kept us on our toes today.
Yeah. Mm.
You came in with the health thing, and then we went straight to mozzarella sticks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we want to hear your dessert. And this, by the way, it should be a dessert when there's absolutely no chance of you having sex with anyone.
Yeah, you aren't having sex. Not even touching yourself.
Yeah.
That's how good this dessert's going to be.
That is beautiful. I will say, I am not, nor have I ever been much of a dessert boy.
Yes.
I have been a staunch, give me an extra helping of whatever the main was.
Yeah.
And then I'll do dessert as my dessert.
Yeah.
Like, I just never liked sweets. I like gummy candy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's like a big one if I'm going to eat sugar.
Yeah.
That's usually like, give me a Sour Patch Kid.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
A nerd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's Sour Patch Kid and a nerd. Yeah.
But if I'm at the diner, there's one combo, especially like late night, that I love. And that is, give me a piece of just whatever the diner chocolate cake is.
Uh-huh.
Chocolate sponge cake, chocolate icing, and a glass of coffee, a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
That combined with just cream.
Yeah.
But also, I'll just let you know, if you do want to just have extra curly fries for the dessert, it's your dream meal. If you want to have
it. No. I'm smiling as he says that. You little shit.
Here's the thing.
He's sitting here saying chocolate cake, you little shit. They're trying to steer it back around a curly fries.
As I'm now that I'm an adult, now that I have means, anytime they come up and they're like, you guys thinking about dessert, I always say, yes, give me the menu. Because I will always look at it. Okay. I say, no harm in looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No harm.
Was it you? I famously
was
say
it
that.
You?
I famously that? Started that.
Because that's really spread.
Yeah, yeah. No harm in looking is really. A lot of people are saying that now.
Yeah.
And they're copying me when they say it, just so that they all know. No, I always like to look now because I do like, I don't know, there is something like weird. It's the one, it's like sort of the reverse thing is like a restaurant, like dessert is always going to be better than anything else. I don't know. It just now, even though I don't really like sweet shit, I will like always look and get something sometimes weird. The only thing that I'm anti still in terms of desserts is like ice cream flavors that are like soap flavors. Like, don't, like, get out of here with your fucking lavender ice cream.
Yeah, I agree
I'm on board with
exactly.
that. Yeah. I don't like lavender ice cream either, actually.
It's
and
so
I'm a sweet boy.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
That they started doing this.
Lavender,
honeycomb lavender ice cream you see a lot now in LA. All over the place.
That's
it's disgusting.
They've just done that because they can, right?
Yeah.
They've not thought about it actually being nice. They just, and it really tastes
no
like
one's favorite.
Tastes like an old lady's hands.
No one's saying, oh, I love lavender ice cream.
No.
You got any of that, please?
And I'm a little apprehensive about the tea flavored ice cream that we've been getting a lot lately, but I will allow it in some cases.
Yeah.
But like, there's Jenny's here in LA had an Earl Grey ice cream for a while, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, really? You weren't happy with that? Doing?
I don't know. No.
Yeah.
No. I don't want tea in my ice cream. And you two freaks might because of where you're from, but that's not here. That's not here. It's not a part of our culture.
When you imagine Earl Grey as a person, who do you imagine in your head who Earl Grey would be?
Ian McKellen.
Yeah,
definitely. 100% eating his ice cream.
Easy.
Yeah.
Good guy. Right. Here's your menu. I'm going to read it back to you. You want tap water to start off with. You want a bread basket from a Greek diner. You want your mozzarella cheese sticks with marinara sauce. You want angel hair pasta with Prego, tomato sauce, Italian sausage, and powdered parmesan. Side of curly fries. Your drink, you would like 3/4 Diet Coke with 1/4 Cherry Coke. And dessert, whatever the diner chocolate cake is, with a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's delicious.
That's not... Yeah, you really set yourself up at the start going, this is going to be the worst you've ever had.
Yeah, but I said when I go out to eat with friends, like, I
good.
Do it. I
Joel, do it. Joel Dommett, for his drink, had a strawberry protein shake.
Mm. That's fucked up, though.
Yeah.
Because he's not playing the game, because nobody orders a full course meal and then gets a strawberry protein shake.
I think
as
he would.
The drink.
He would probably do that. He's have you met Joel Dommett?
Mm-mm.
Steer clear.
Yeah, certainly. He eats all the time like he's having sex that night.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Joel, thank you so much.
Thanks
for coming to the Dream Restaurant. And I can only apologize again for what James said earlier.
Well, Joel just said bummer.
Is that?
Yeah, in the UK.
Yeah, that's true. You'll find, that's the other way around.
I think you'll find in the UK, that is a homophobic slur.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That is not true.
That is true.
I'm reclaiming it, actually. Yeah. Oh, I actually can say it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's just family terms for me.
Yeah, that's a proper playground homophobic slur.
Yeah.
Wow. Bummer.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So
bummer.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I guess if you take off the hard ER, it does sound a little more aggressive.
Well, what a cultural exchange we've had today.
We've all learned something. Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in, Joel. Thanks,
thank you, Joel.
There we have it, Joel Kim Booster.
Wow. Quite the menu. So many cheese sticks.
So many cheese sticks, so little time, and I'll be honest, it went down a road I was not expecting it to go down after the initial revelation of the blended chicken breast.
A blended chicken breast that is an off-menu low.
Yes, I'd say so. But I think you pulled it back round because curly fries, first person to ever pick curly fries as a side dish, so well done.
Thank you for that, Joel. Thank you for bringing curly fries into the Dream Restaurant. They are a magical fry.
And thank you as well, Joel, for not saying popped quinoa.
No, there was no danger of that. As soon as he said cheese sticks, I was like, we're fine.
Yeah, we'll be all right. And popped quinoa, you can't put that in a blender. It'd fucking break the blades.
Yeah, exactly. The blades would all get mashed up. That quinoa's so sharp.
Oh, Joel. But thank you for coming in. If you enjoy Joel's menu and style, check out his podcast, which is called Urgent Care with Joel Kim Booster and Mitra Juhari. Go and check that out. They give unqualified advice to people. It's very funny. Joel's stand-up is probably available somewhere as well. And check him out on Twitter. He's at I Hate Joel Kim.
Excellent stuff. Also, we're on Twitter and Instagram at OffMenuOfficial, and we've got a website, offmenupodcast.co.uk, and there's a page of all the restaurants that are ever mentioned on this podcast in there. And who knows, maybe there'll also be a link to where you can buy a blender and make your own disgusting chicken slop.
Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.